This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think it was Brooke Pryor that either asked him this or she tweeted it out first. She's on the show with us last week. If you missed it, go grab the podcast. It's good. We find out about her dirty car.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I was really worried that we were not going to have this opportunity this season because we didn't have very many shows. We didn't have a lot going on for us at night here whenever the Pittsburgh Steelers were facing the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time. And a part of me that was deeply saddened from that week is that we were not going to have the opportunity to talk to our dear friend Brooke Pryor. Well, would you just look at what the Steelers went and did? And then also what the Chargers did and didn't do, what the Raiders did, and I guess kind of what the Ravens did. It took a lot of different moving parts, but the end result is that Brooke Pryor of ESPN is here with us now. Those four letters still do sound pretty good after your name there, Brooke.
I don't hate them. It's still weird, like, whenever I'm taping something and they're like, do a sign-off. And I'm like,
ooh.
Here in Pittsburgh, it's Brooke Pryor, ESPN, and
yes.
Like you just want to do over the top, and it's like, no, that's obnoxious. But then it's also like, how else are you supposed to say it? So but yeah, I like the letters. They're great.
We all of us, everyone listening now, understands that the pause is between S and P. Your brand becomes Brooke Pryor ESPN. Or
ESP. Like, it makes it sound like esports.
Ooh, that's true. I like Brooke Pryor ESP. And
I'm going to mix it up next time. I'll let you know what the producers say. I'm going to guess the feedback maybe isn't like 100% go do that all the time. It may get cut. But we don't know unless we try.
I'm not expecting you to get a gold star necessarily, but I am hoping they just don't say anything.
Just let them know. You're just like, hey, we're doing a couple takes here. You guys use what's best.
You pick what you like. I have my favorite. I know what I want.
Yeah.
But you tell me. You're the pro.
Yeah, you leave it in their hands, but you do get a little bit, you put a little variety in there.
I'm gonna try it next time.
This is big picture and totally self-involved, which is of course where we thrive. But every time you post like an Instagram story or something of like, here's me on TV or here's me doing a TV hit and bleeping it up and then having to retake it, which I do appreciate the bloopers. Every time it's sort of wild. Just seeing you on ESPN at random points is what my mom must feel like watching me on TV. It's like, oh, I know her. Hey, that's a pro. But I am curious what the most strictly, I don't want you to get in trouble, strictly the most fun TV ESPN experience has been for you. The one thing, you're like, I remember this one the most fondly.
So my favorite is, it was like an off-screen, it was an off-camera moment, because what they do, like, before you go live is, like, you crawl into the IFB line and you talk with whoever's running, you know, whatever producer, you know, is in your ear, and then they talk to the lighting people and whoever, and then they're like, all right, you're going to say hi to L. Duncan, who's hosting today, and then you'll talk to L, and then whoever else is on there is also saying hi to L. And one day I did a hit, and so I'm talking to L, and then all of a sudden another voice is there, and it's Jeff Saturday, who played for UNC, obviously was Peyton Manning center for a long time, and UNC had just lost to Virginia Tech on opening weekend, and that was really painful for all of us. And so L is, like, giving Jeff Saturday grief, like, I don't know what happened to your Tar Heels. And Jeff goes, you know what, L? I don't want to hear it. Brooke is a Tar Heel, too, and we will walk off this set.
Yes. Excellent.
And I am just like, oh, my God, Jeff Saturday knows my name. He knows I'm a Tar Heel. We are in this together. I'm also like, but we're not, Jeff, because you make a lot more money than I do, and I can't actually walk off of this.
That's right.
But if you want to support me, then yeah, I'll for sure walk off of this.
Yeah.
But right now I need this rep. But thank you for recognizing what we have in common here. Like that, I kind of had a little bit of a high from that.
You could follow his lead, but you could not wait for him to follow yours, right? If he walks off, he's like, Brooke, come with me. Get out. You're like, okay, I guess I got to listen to Jeff Saturday. I guess I don't know.
I have to go.
But you could not be the one making that call. That seems right, though. I think that makes sense.
No, I'm for sure not. I am not leading the walk off this set.
Yeah.
That's all him. But yeah, next time I'm in studio with Jeff, whenever that is, it has yet to happen. I'm going to be like, hey, remember me? I'm the Tar Heel. He does follow me on Twitter, and he only follows like 179 people.
Oh.
So that's a badge of honor for me.
he's probably tired of people asking for them to take a snap from him, you know? Just let me, like, I'll drop back in shotgun here. Just hit me with one. But I also feel like that would be pretty good, especially if he snapped it as hard as he could. I think that would be – I bet most people would be surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing there's a little bit of a – there's a zip on that ball.
That, I mean, he's a pro.
Yeah.
He sets the standard in every kind of way. I'm a big Jeff Saturday fan. I actually – Kimberly Martin, who's doing the game for ESPN this weekend, and I had a whole fangirl moment about him before the Ravens game. So lots of people in ESPN love Jeff Saturday, not only for his football ability, but his just charming, charming attitude and personality.
Everybody loves a Saturday. No, who hates Saturday? Nobody.
It's true.
Nobody.
This is not where I thought we would begin this conversation, but so to get, you know, to the serious thing. So I was talking to Lebo earlier, and I was running down the schedule, and he said, "Oh, you're going to talk to Brooke about Bojangles?" And I said, you know what? I think I will, because I've still never had Bojangles, but you are their brand ambassador to me. The only brand ambassador that I know of that is deeply here for everything Bojangles. Can you put Bojangles into context for me? Like, I love all fried chicken in every way, shape, and form. What makes Bojangles special?
First of all, it is an abomination that you still haven't been, because you go to Florida. So, like, you have to drive through the states or fly through the states where it exists. Like, I have people, when they fly through Atlanta or Charlotte and they're on their way to Pittsburgh, go to the Bojangles in those airports and bring it to Pittsburgh for me. Wow. And then I refresh it in the air fryer, and it tastes amazing. Like, it's fresh, which I don't really know what that says about the overall product, but it's great.
Air fryers are special, though. We know that.
Really are. They are magic makers. But it's the Cajun filet seasoning, or just the Cajun seasoning on the filets, on the Supremes and the tenders and the fries. I mean, we have jars of it in our spice cabinet, and it is just, it's perfectly seasoned every single time. Although I will say, sometimes you get, like, a filet on, like, a Cajun filet biscuit that the filet is just far too skinny. And that's a real big disappointment. You have to get, like, a good size thick filet to really get the full experience. But I get a Cajun filet biscuit with egg and cheese on it, side of Bo rounds, which are like hash browns, but like round. Wow. And just thick and just greasy and great. And you will not find a better, in my opinion, a better chicken biscuit and side, and quick, too. Because, like, if you're in a place where you can hit a drive-through, like, first of all, open on Sundays. Chick-fil-A can't do that.
Can't do it.
And second of all, like, we're all there on the same page if we're there in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know why we're there.
Yep.
It's for the grease. It's for the chicken biscuit. I miss having that option because, like, an Egg McMuffin doesn't hit the same.
No.
It's just... It doesn't, and you're making me really sad that I have absolutely no Bojangles in my future for at least the next, like, 2 months.
Can we just get them to expand a little bit? Because, like, yeah, the closest there's a Bojangles 2 hours and 15 minutes from my parents' house in Florida. That is the closest that I get to a Bojangles, apparently. If there's one in an airport that we have to stop through at some point, I will absolutely. That's the only time I've had Whataburger, was in the Atlanta airport. It was fine.
Okay.
It was all right. I don't know.
Times I've been to, like, I've taken trips to Texas, I have done the friends be like, hey, get blank from Whataburger and, like, bring it back to me. So I have also taken fast food across state lines. Might be a federal crime. I don't know, but.
I mean, look, it's worth it. Somebody's got to do it, and you are a true pal going the extra distance. I won't report you because somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to bring the goods back from wherever you are. And Whataburger is worth it. Although, don't you guys have a Whataburger now in Kansas City? Is that officially opened yet?
So yes. The Lee Summit one is. There's one that's going to be very close to the station that is still being built, but
right.
It looks like they are getting very. It seems like maybe by, like, I'm, you know. Let me put my hard hat on here, expert.
Sure. Yeah.
I would say by March, maybe.
Good.
Feels like a March or April opening based
we can,
off
we can
how
go
where
to
they're
the
at.
Lee Summit.
Yeah, it's a little far.
But I'm not. Here's the thing: this is my case with, like, the Popeyes sandwich and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was unwilling to risk getting stabbed for that sandwich, and it's wonderful. I'm glad that I can have it now without fear of it being out or having violence in the drive-thru.
We have DoorDash. Well, sorry. Teddy has DoorDashed Popeye's sandwiches, but he got two, so that's like more bang for your buck when you're getting it delivered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was worth it. It was worth it for him. But the Whataburger, get the honey butter chicken biscuit.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it's not quite the same because you can't really add egg and cheese when there's honey. Like, that's just kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still really good. It hits similarly, a little different, but, like, it's close enough.
All right. Thanks for being on, Brooke. We're going to – I got to go. We got to go.
You guys have a drive-thru to hit?
Yeah. I don't even know which one.
Order in the app and
– Yeah. I'll ask you a Steelers question. If you could just talk for 20 straight minutes, I'm going to – get on Uber Eats.
I do love a good chicken biscuit.
Yeah, I can do that.
I love chicken and biscuits, and then chicken biscuits. And
I don't know who decided that you should put a chicken on a biscuit, but it is a great combination.
Bless them. That's okay. We just opened a Tupelo Honey in Pittsburgh, and they have great biscuits and fried chicken. I don't know if they have a chicken biscuit, but like, that's I think as close as I'm going to get here outside of Chick-fil-A. So that's on my to-do list to venture to this spring to check it out.
I didn't realize how hungry I was right now. Okay, so I feel both happier and more sad right now because of the many different angles of that conversation. But I do actually want to ask you about the Steelers, believe it or not. I know it's shocking. Because this has been a really weird week here where last week was the finale of the regular season and the Chiefs are going to play the Broncos. And that game didn't feel like it was going to have much juice to it. It didn't. It was closer than we expected it to be. But it was not a terribly fun or exciting week or game. This week is not exactly that same vibe, but it's a little bit strange. I have yet to find someone to make a case, not even just a good case, any case that the Steelers would win this game this weekend. So what is it like in Pittsburgh right now? Obviously, looks like Big Ben's last game with a loss, I guess. If they win, then, you know, keeps rolling. But how is Pittsburgh operating right now?
You know, I think that everyone kind of understands what this matchup not only looks like on paper, but looked like in real life like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
It was really, really ugly. But this team is in a little bit different of a position than it was in 3 weeks ago. And that's because they're riding this wave of, like, they quite literally have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to be in the playoffs. I know Ben Roethlisberger said this week, apparently very sarcastically, like, we're not supposed to be here. Nobody believes in us. We're 20-point underdogs. He said this morning on a radio hit with a local station that he was just being sarcastic and just kind of throwing back what he's been hearing. But the thing is, like, he's not wrong. Like, he said out of the 14 teams that made the playoff, we're number 14. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think anyone was planning on the Steelers being in the playoffs when you go into the last game, the last day of the regular season with a 9% chance to hit the postseason.
Right.
Because not only did the Steelers have to beat the Ravens, which it felt like they would before the game just because they're riding this momentum of Ben's last,
mm-hmm.
but they needed the Jaguars to win. And I was like, there's no way that that's actually going to happen. Like, ha, 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 that's cute, but no.
Right.
And then that happened easily. And then, like, all right, well, yeah, okay, they're definitely in. Because there's no way two NFL teams are actually going to tie. They can't just kneel down for, you know, four quarters. And then it almost got to that it just – everything about the Steelers being in the playoffs is improbable. I mean, the fact that the Raiders decided to kick that field goal when it looked like they were both content to just run out the clock. I mean, Ben said this morning on the radio that – he knows some people inside the Raiders organization, and they said, yeah, we were playing for a tie until that Brandon Staley timeout. And then we said, okay, well, we don't want to go play in Kansas City. We're going to go kick the field goal to go to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So there's that element of it.
It's
but
crazy.
I think what makes it different is that the Steelers are playing with house money this time. I mean, they, I think, can play more free because of that. But also from a schematic and a player personnel standpoint, T.J. Watt is far healthier than he was the last time he came to Kansas City. He was dealing with, I think what NFL Network said was some fractured ribs. Watt said it was a minor thing. I'm a baby, I guess, because fractured ribs to me would be pretty significant and you would not hear from me for months.
Right.
but he said, like, we talked to him today, he said that he feels pretty good. He feels much better than he did that week. The only real significant injury is Najee Harris's elbow, but he fully practiced today. He's questionable. And I wouldn't be shocked if Juju Smith-Schuster is activated for Sunday. He's been out since October with the shoulder injury. He's been at practice the last 2 days. And all the reviews of him are that he looks pretty good. And I watch all of practice. I cannot technically tell you what happened at practice unless someone confirms it. But when Deonte Johnson said he looks like Juju Smith-Schuster, he looks like his normal self, I can tell you that, yes, he looks like his normal self. I don't know how much he'd be able to play, maybe just a handful of plays, and I think that his shoulder would be pretty padded up. But that's an X factor that they may not have had, but that they didn't have the last time. So I think the Steelers have some intangibles that are breaking the right way. I don't think that they win this game, but I think it ends up being more competitive than 36-10 and 23-0 at halftime.
To that end, what does it look like if the Steelers do play their best game? Like within reason of, you know, I think this is something they could actually do.
To me, for them to play their best game, the defense has to generate turnovers. And if they can generate turnovers, then I think this game is close. Maybe they have a chance, but it's not just about the defense and the turnovers, which I know the Chiefs have had some fluky turnovers at times. Most of those were early in the season. That really hasn't been a thing as often, but the defense has to do that, and the offense has to score early. They cannot keep relying on these fourth-quarter miracles, although that is when Ben Roethlisberger seems to thrive. He kind of, you know, just goes through the motions for the first three quarters, and it is painful and ugly to watch. It is not pretty football. There's a lot of checkdowns, a lot of five-yard passes, and runs for 2 or 3 yards. And then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden things start opening up. They start breaking off some longer runs. But if they can do that earlier, that's a much better game than they've played recently. But I think the key for the Steelers is just to kind of muck it up as far as, like, make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable with pressure, try to get some turnovers, work on, you know, ball security issues, force some fumbles, get some strip sacks. Things like that will keep them in this game and keep it close. And then as long as Ben isn't making the big mistake, throwing an interception, having the strip sack that happened last game, and scoring early, maybe it's not, you know, scoring constantly, but just getting something so that you're not digging out of this momentum hole and then literal points hole. That's what their best game looks like.
I mean, we had, a somewhat similar version of this conversation, especially earlier in the year with all of the mistakes the Chiefs were making and how that ended up biting them. But do you have a working theory or just your best translation, I guess, as to what it has been that has both contributed to their bad, slow, painful starts and also then been able to come back and look different later in games?
You know, I think we talked a lot about this a couple weeks ago. And I think that there is something to it that the Steelers are at their best when they're running a no huddle. And maybe, you know, I'm not saying they need to run a no huddle for 99% of their plays because that's not feasible. This is not the Big 12. They can't do that. They can't keep up that same kind of tempo, and it loses its viability if you're using it that much. It's not as effective. But I think that they need to go to that sooner. They tend to do more of that in the fourth quarter when they're trying to play catch-up. It kind of seems like offensive coordinator Matt Canada kind of hands the keys over to Roethlisberger when they're already playing from a 15, 20-point deficit. It's like, okay, now you do whatever you need to do to get us back in the game. Whereas I really think, and I've been beating this drum for a while, you know what, Canada, I really think that his job is safe for another year, although he has had some very questionable calls, particularly on fourth down. If I see another screen pass or sling pass to Najee Harris on fourth down behind the sticks, I'm going to throw my own computer. But I still think that Canada keeps his job to work with whatever quarterback comes next. You know what? Give the keys to Roethlisberger early. Say, hey, you know what? You're going out. You call what you want to call and run what you want to run. It seems like guys are responding to that. You're more effective moving the football. Do you? To me, that's the difference. There's much more of that in the second half, fourth quarter, and early. It seems like they stick to a script and they really try to stick to Canada's game plan and they don't deviate and it becomes too predictable and just too stagnant.
Yeah. I think that's super interesting. Also kind of wild that we're at this point in the season and it feels like they maybe haven't been able to connect those dots. It's very strange. But mentioning what Ben Roethlisberger can do at this point and when he looks his best and all of that, what do you think he is still able to do at a relatively high level at this point?
Well, I don't know that high level. That might be putting the ceiling.
I was really trying to get to the best thing he does still, and I wondered in real time, like, should I have said what can Ben Roethlisberger do competently right now? What is he good at right now, and how good, I guess, in the positive light? Because I'm going to ask you about the bad stuff in a second.
Oh, I've got plenty of those things. I think he's good when he throws over the middle to, like, guys like Pat Freiermuth. Mm. Like, I don't know why they don't do more of that. To me, that's one of the most puzzling things this season. Just like an intermediate throw, maybe 8 to 10 yards. It's not putting a lot of stress on his elbow. They're big targets. They're usually open. They had a preseason game against Detroit where I think he played 2 series, and they did that constantly, and I was like, oh, yeah, this offense is going to be fine. It totally works. And now they've barely done it or haven't done it nearly as much as I thought they would. But he's really good throwing over the middle to Freiermuth. He's put some balls deep that some of them flutter. They're not very consistent. But he's had some that have really had some zip, and he gets it to just where only Deontay Johnson can catch it. I think his connection with Deontay is really strong, although Deontay struggled recently and has had more drops. Ever since he got the Pro Bowl snub, he just has not looked quite as locked in as he needs to be. Ben is also good at the checkdowns to Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. But the list is short, but yeah. The other thing is it's not just the throws that he makes, it's the poise that he has and the veteran presence that he has in the fourth quarter and overtime. When you ask guys on the team what makes Ben so good, they say his toughness and his clutchness. I think he's led 7 game-winning drives this year. Hmm. He may not look like the 25-year-old quarterback that was winning Super Bowls, but he still has the presence of mind and the ability to lead a game-winning drive and lead it effectively. So that still sets him apart at 39 years old.
This is probably apples to oranges, but, like, Peyton Manning got benched for Brock Osweiler at some point and then came back and led a Super Bowl championship run. Like, that particular last part I do think is something that we've not, you know, outside of Pittsburgh at least, not extended some of that to Ben Roethlisberger of, like, hey, he still has the quarterback brain back there. And I think that's something worth spending some more time on. On the other side, though, where not just what is he not good at right now, because we all know that he's not running. We know he's not going to tuck and run terribly nimbly. But where has he been the worst this year if you had to explain it to Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense? Say, hey, you know what? This is the thing that's knocked him off his horse.
Well, for one thing, you're right. He is not mobile, and the line in front of him has not been very consistent, and he's taken a good number of sacks. I want to say it's around 38 this year, I think is the number I saw. The other thing is that for as good a quarterback mind as he still has in leading those fourth quarter drives, sometimes he is not on the same page with his receivers. It seems especially sometimes with Chase Claypool it's happened. I have the Bengals game, the second one in my mind, where I think he threw outside and Chase broke inside or vice versa, one of those. They just weren't on the same page and it turned into a pick. Mm. So there's some of these throws where either he's not on the right page with the receiver or the receiver's running the wrong route, and it's led to some really, like, what the heck was that interception? Just, mm-hmm. like, a lapse. So for whatever reason, that has not been great. Granted, that hasn't happened as much recently, but sometimes he does get a little air under the ball that makes it a little wobbly. That fourth down throw that he had to Ray-Ray McCloud to put them in field goal range to win the Ravens game was about the worst-looking throw I've ever seen. Like, I could maybe throw better than that. Right. And I don't say that about many things in football. Like, I'm really not athletic enough to do anything better than anyone, even, like, carry a helmet.
Right.
But that was just, like, I don't even know what that was. Ray Ray, to his credit, was like, I mean, he put it where only I could get it. And I was like, I mean, I guess you're right. Maybe that was part of the strategy. But he's not winning any style points. Right. That's for sure.
So before we get a final on the game and what you expect and everything, do you have a feel right now for what the quarterback plan is going to be? Not, you know, we obviously don't know who's going to be there at their first round draft slot or whatever. Do they have their first round pick this year? They do, right?
They do.
Okay, they've moved a few of those, it seems like. Not necessarily a particular prospect or even if you have a specific veteran in mind, cool. But do you have a feeling with it being Mike Tomlin, with it being a roster that seems to be in pretty good shape? Like, are they going to try to find the quarterback of the long-term future? Are they going to try to find a slight upgrade on Mason Rudolph or let him compete with somebody? Are they going to try to find an established veteran? Where would you put your money right now?
Well, I would not put my money on a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers because their roster isn't actually in great shape when it comes to what a quarterback would need. Their offensive line, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm in, you know, the twilight, albeit like very bright twilight, like the sun's just barely setting. He's got a lot left in the tank, but it accelerates if I'm playing behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if they do look at that mid-level quarterback market and see if they can find an upgrade on Mason Rudolph. But I also think that if they say, you know what, we want to spend our free agency money on the line, seeing who's available, then they go ahead and draft that first-round quarterback, maybe a guy like Sam Howell, Carson Strong, Malik Willis from Liberty, one of those guys. I think it's going to end up being like in the late teens since they did make the playoffs, which is one of those like, man, it's not quite a tank, but making the playoffs kind of hurts where you're picking there.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be either one or the other. Either they find a mid-level guy and they draft an offensive lineman, or they find an O-lineman, like a top-tier guy in free agency, and they draft a rookie quarterback. But those are the two things that they absolutely have to address to figure out the situation going forward. And I think that Mason Rudolph is going to compete with whoever it is they bring in to be the starter. They're not going to, you know, if they get like a Jimmy Garoppolo, that doesn't mean that Mason Rudolph goes away, but it means that he'd have to compete for the starting job. And I don't think he's winning that over Jimmy Garoppolo. He may not even win it over a first-round quarterback. Right. So he's kind of in a tough situation.
This is even less playoff game related and even more big picture, but it is interesting that Kevin Colbert, the GM, is stepping down after the draft, right? Where he's been there for a long time, and I don't know if that – do you think that there's a chance that changes the direction of something, or is this going to be, you know, Mike Tomlin's organization regardless? How are you viewing that right now?
You know, it's not a surprise that Colbert is stepping down or is – I think right now projected to, I forget how NFL Network phrased it, but it was not anything that felt like breaking news when I saw the tweets and everything hit Twitter, because he's been working on a year-to-year deal for, I think it's the last 3 years. This has kind of been in the plan all along. It's always kind of felt like, all right, whenever Ben goes, Colbert will go, but that does not mean Mike Tomlin is going.
Right.
Colbert is closer to retirement age or to moving into a different role that doesn't have as much to do with the day-to-day.
Sure.
I think the Steelers end up promoting within. That's just how this organization works.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter if Colbert steps down before the draft, after the draft. They will still draft like the Steelers always draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to drastically change anything. He's not going to, you know, trade away like three future first-round picks to bring a guy in. He's not going to do anything drastic like that. I think he continues to do what he normally does. He steers his team through the draft, and then he says, all right, now we'll promote whoever who has probably worked closely with him through the draft to understand the strategy and how these pieces need to be used.
Yeah, and you're right. I guess the original Rappaport tweet was expected to step down following the draft, but it's just a weird – it's very strange for an organization that has had as little turmoil and turnover from coach, quarterback, and GM over the last – as long as I've been paying attention to football.
60 years?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Like, it really is.
It's been like – obviously there are some changes in that organization because it just naturally has to happen. But
barely.
it's happened so few that when it does happen, it's pretty big news.
Yeah. So I just it's an interesting place to find. I'm pretty sure Terry Bradshaw went. It was straight from Terry Bradshaw to Ben Roethlisberger, right? I think they're both approximately that age.
There was a little bit of an overlap, or there was a gap. I think it was, actually might have been like 20 years between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. It was at least because the thing was they didn't draft Dan Marino in 1984. Yeah. Is that what it was? Whatever year he came out, they could have drafted Marino and didn't, and then Bradshaw got hurt the next year, and
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, we could have gone from Bradshaw to Marino to then maybe eventually Roethlisberger, but they had the Cordell Stewart years.
No,
I was going to tell you, Josh, don't disrespect Cordell Stewart.
Brooke, I know you're the expert, and I hate to mansplain the Steelers
but
to you.
But you're right, they probably did go straight from Bradshaw to Roethlisberger.
I'm just looking here.
What are we saying here?
I'm looking here at Terry. So Terry Bradshaw looks like he got hurt in the 83 season, and then I'm pretty sure that Ben Roethlisberger's been playing since 1984. I think I was.
It doesn't need to feel that way. Yeah.
I think I'm right, actually. Do you know Todd Blackledge actually played five games for the Steelers in the 88 and 89?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. A year after Steve Bono played three games.
We know about the Chiefs 49ers connection. What about this Chiefs? Because remember, didn't Lynn Dawson start off with the Steelers?
Was he drafted by them?
I believe Lynn Dawson was drafted by the Steelers. Right. There's this Chiefs-Steelers quarterback connection we've never talked about.
There's so many stories that were just untapped this week. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I really hope that nobody tweets at me and is like, you don't remember Tommy Maddox?
I forgot about Tommy Maddox.
It was a fun
joke. Steelers fans would probably rather forget the time between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. So it's better for everyone if it just went from one great quarterback era to another one. They were kind of in the quarterback wilderness for a little while.
The Wikipedia page, by the way, of list of Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterbacks that I did open up because I didn't remember who was between those two guys really, but you know, I knew there was a guy.
I remembered Cordell.
There is a picture of Terry Bradshaw like with one foot up on a horse fence, and he's like leaning on his knee and maybe has like a piece of grass or something, or like has a toothpick maybe that he's digging in at. This picture is that's worth the Google.
Terry.
Yeah, we just
like a Captain Morgan Marlboro Man crossover situation.
Very, yeah. but with the glow of a picture that was definitely taken in the early 80s.
I mean, that sounds like a marketing campaign to me.
The TV commercials, I think, for his, not necessarily his reality show, but like his wife and daughter's reality show where he's just shirtless, doesn't get enough love.
You had to watch that show? Is that show out, Brooke? Is this something that you're writing about on a regular basis on ESPN.com?
That actually does not appear on ESPN.com. But, you know, the beautiful thing about Wikipedia is that you can edit it. So, Rudy, you should take that picture, the shirtless one, and swap it in a Wikipedia article.
I like this.
It's a crowdsourced situation. This is for you.
I'm going to preserve this photo and maybe, I don't know when I'm going to tweet it, but I'm going to tweet it at some point just say these are the vibes.
The show is called The Bradshaw Bunch.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Now, will they have to do the show from just like a field whenever he gives his house away because somebody got like six right picks?
That's a good question. Brooke, we've kept you much longer than I meant to, so, you know, my apologies, but not really. And what do you think happens in this game?
I think the Steelers cover. I believe it's a 2-touchdown line right now. Like at one point it was 12.5.
Yeah, I think there's a 13.5. Yeah, right around
13.5. I'm not surprised that it's rising.
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember what I put as my official score prediction on ESPN, but I believe I'm going to go like 30 to 24. I think it's closer than the last time around. I don't think the Steelers win, but I think they make it a game, at least more of a game than it was last time. It may not come until the fourth quarter. So if the Steelers are down big at halftime, I know it's going to be cold. Mm-hmm. If you were at Arrowhead, I would not leave because you could miss the last comeback or comeback attempt of Ben Roethlisberger's career. I know it's being billed as his retirement party. There's no better way for him to go out or try to avoid going out than with a big fourth quarter. So I think it will be an exciting game. I just don't know if the Steelers are going to have enough in the tank and enough personnel wise to shut down Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, I mean, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, the list of eligibles, as Mike Tomlin would say, the collection of eligibles, I think is going to be too much for them.
If they do win this game, maybe we can pull some strings and get them dunked in Bojangles' chicken or something. It wouldn't really make sense as a Pittsburgh thing, but it would be really funny for the three of us and, like, 15 other people. And that's enough reason to do a bit, I think.
That's enough for me. Or, you know what? They should do a Primanti's shower and just dump fries on them.
That's a Pittsburgh thing, whatever you just said there, right?
Yeah. In Pittsburgh, okay. You put fries on everything, and Primanti's has the fries on the sandwich.
What's it? What's the name of this?
Primanti's. P-R-I-M-A-N-T-I apostrophe S.
All right, well, I'm going to get hungry again during the break. Thank you very much, Brooke. It's been wonderful to talk to you again, despite the fact that I am now deeply, deeply unhappy with what is currently in the context of my lunch bag.
I'll Venmo you for dinner. Don't worry.
Take that. Thank you, Brooke.
Thanks, guys.
Multimedia superstar, Brooke Pryor. You can see her on ESPN, ESPN.com, ESPN Television. Follow her on Twitter also, at B.E. Pryor. And let's see if I can go find some chicken.
Take the show with you wherever you go. Listen live on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app and 810WHB.com.
In these trying times, Kansas City Credit Union knows how important cash flow is in your household. With rates near all-time lows, now's the time to take action. Free up some cash by lowering your monthly car loan payment when you refinance your auto loan with Kansas City Credit Union. And as a bonus, Kansas City Credit Union will delay your payments for 90 days. Visit KansasCityCreditUnion.com/810sports for more information. Kansas City Credit Union, your path to financial freedom.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue has made their New Year resolution, and it's to serve more barbecue. That means more competition meats by the pound during playoff football and basketball watch parties. That means more curbside pickups when you order on the Joe's Kansas City app. That means shipping more Joe's Kansas City Barbecue anywhere in the nation to your friends and family. And that means more catering meetings and events at the Joe's 180 Room in Olathe. Check out all Joe's can do for you in 2022 at www.joeskc.com.
Are you suffering from chronic joint pain like Heather?
I have terrible arthritis and have had it for quite a while, and I've gone to all kinds of doctors trying to figure out what to do, and everybody just said surgery. And surgery was months of rehab, and I didn't want to do that.
But then Heather discovered QC Kinetics, local medical professionals who specialize in natural biologic treatments, non-invasive solutions designed to repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints. And she absolutely loves the results.
I like to tell anybody who's suffering that there are options that are not steroids, that are not surgery. You owe it to yourself to find out about QC Kinetics and find out what they can do for you.
No surgery, no drugs, no downtime. Discover QC Kinetics and learn more about natural biologic treatments with lasting results.
Call QC Kinetics, 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. Don't wait. Call QC Kinetics today, 816-412-6299.
Menards has what you need to give your bathroom a fresh new update. Stop in and view our great selection of toilets from top brands, including American Standard. Replace yours with a Titan Tall Elongated Toilet. It has a powerful flush and AquaGuard to reduce condensation. Plus, it features EverClean technology so it will stay cleaner longer. Save big money right now.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Some people click this podcast and it says, like, more on Spencer Ware to injured reserve, which isn't official yet, but whatever, and breaking down the Chiefs trade. And like, all right, hell yeah, Chiefs trade.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And they clicked it, and we're 10 minutes in, and I'm about to explain the story of this pineapple hat that I'm wearing.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's a very special liner. I think it's a wonderful one. It also is a liner from a very good edition of this show, if memory serves. I think tonight's earned it. I'm not sure if it's lived up to Pineapple Hat / Juice Trade Show. Do you know what the trade was, by the way? They went with Spencer Ware going on IR? I have no idea what that would have been about.
No, I don't.
That's okay. I'm perfectly comfortable forgetting.
And then also, some people tonight are going to see a podcast titled, "We Got New Chairs." And they're going to click on it and be like, oh, there's actually a lot of Chief stuff in here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're all about subverting expectations. So
talked about that before. Thanks again to Brooke Pryor for joining us. Several things in the Twitch chat that really make me incredibly happy. Ice Pirate just said, show us the pineapple. Might be against TOS, Twitch Terms of Service.
As long as if we change it to like beaches, pools, and hot tubs.
That's right.
Then I think it's fine, but we have to change the category.
And I think that...
For like 10 people listening who understand what we're talking about right there, but that's fine.
I think that happens a lot, though.
That's true.
Sometimes
that's
I am,
very true.
Sometimes I'm slapped in the face with a reminder of how massive the like terrestrial radio reach of this station is and like how many people can hear our voices right now. Every once in a while, something will happen, and I'll go like, oh, yeah, people are listening. People can hear us. This isn't just the two of us here. And sometimes I realize like that joke was for four people, and I'm cool with it, you know? It's all about...
I think it's fair.
It's all about knowing all those things. To that end, several things in the Twitch chat right now. Ice Pyro says they're a Whataburger apologist. My experience wasn't great, but I'm definitely going to give it another shot here in Kansas City, no doubt. Not passing judgment, just not a great start. And then BTM says chicken biscuits... Nope, sorry, it was Aspen that said the honey butter chicken biscuits at Wendy's aren't bad if you need something more accessible than Whataburger. That's dangerous to know because there's one right by my house.
I have not had it, but every time I see the commercial, I'm like, that looks intriguing. It's just been a situation where like Wendy's from where I live is like just far enough away that I'll pass like two or three other places where I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna go here instead and get a chicken McGriddle or something.
The closest little trio of fast food places around my house.
Fine dining
establishments, quick service restaurants, QSRs. Is Taco Bell, Wendy's, and then saw this from BTM on Twitch. Hardee's chicken biscuits are the best by far.
It's good. I don't go there much because if I stay at my dad's, like say if I'm dog sitting for him, there's Hardee's right next to my dad's. So I will hit up a Hardee's like on my way home from the motherland, right? Never actually had Hardee's up here. I also did not know there was one in this area. I've only known of one Hardee's location, and it's in Ottawa.
There's one.
It's a good spot.
There's one very close to my house. I'm trying not to be too specific, but yeah, I live inside a Taco Bell, Hardee's, and Wendy's. Come see me. But like, it's not within walking distance, but it's close enough, right? Please don't stalk me. I don't think I could deal with that. I think that would be a lot. Also, huge of me to assume that anyone listening is like, I wonder if I can go see Josh through his window, you know? That feels like something that happens to, like, pop stars, probably not radio hosts, but I don't know, man. Some of you scare me. Here's the issue. Here's what really scares me. More than that, I've never been to Hardee's. One time, I went to the Wendy's drive-thru, and I sat there for, like, 5 minutes, and nobody even, like, said anything to the speaker. And then I pulled over into the Hardee's and had the same thing happen to me. And then I went home and ate, like, raw flour, I guess. I don't know. But a Human Torch says there's one 107th Metcalf, apparently. So within striking distance of here.
From here, but from where I live, 100, like, again, yeah. It's like...
What's your address again for all of our listeners?
So it is 9999.
Great number.
West 666 Drive.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I actually commute from Oklahoma. It's a drive, but Tulsa specifically.
Do you want to explain? I forgot I wanted to circle back an hour after the fact. Your Cole Beasley joke was a nightmare blunt rotation joke.
Because I know he's not a big fan of just any kind of medicine, and so he passes the blunt and you get the plague.
Anything that comes out of his lungs at that point, you know, could be questionable. That is a clarification of a joke that we told an hour ago. And continuing our theme of not getting each other's jokes right away today.
I do remember now the Human Torch saying the 107 Metcalf, actually, because I used to, this was years ago when I lived on, I lived just off Lamar. And so I would drive, when I had the 6 a.m. shift, I would drive down to Metcalf. And so sometimes, you know, swing by, maybe stop by there real fast, get a nice biscuit. They got good biscuits.
I'm going to remember that, you know, the Telltale video games where you like do an action and then sometimes it says like, you know, Jeremy will remember that. I looked over the Twitch chat and saw Hardee's chicken biscuits are the best. And at the lower third of the video stream could have just said, Josh will remember this. because the next time that next time I'm driving home or leaving home or whatever, I mean, I'm a little hungry right now, but I don't think I'm in a Taco Bell mood. Oh man, Hardee's apparently has one really good item.
I've never had their lunch before.
Yeah.
Only ever the breakfast. And the breakfast, every time I've had the breakfast, like, it's been good. Like, yeah, I would say it's an underrated fast food breakfast place.
They have potato coins instead of hash browns. Interesting.
It's very good.
Ice Pyro said they'll stalk me to see the pineapple hat. I will try to remember this, Ice Pyro. I will wear the pineapple hat for you sometime next week, probably. We have 13 clips of audio here. And, of course, we are nearing the end of the second hour of the show and have played zero of them. Not for lack of sportsiness today.
It's just sports. Yeah, it's just largely sports.
We decided we like the sound of our own voice better.
Yeah.
Hope you do, too. And we're not going to play any of these with Mick, because that's not how the Mick Hour really works. Nope. I guess we can try that sometime, you know, and just be like, hey, hey, Mick, what do you think of this audio clip? Not going to happen today.
Maybe Mick will text us right after the show and be like, hey, guys, I actually have audio for next week.
That would be wonderful. Mick Schaefer, as we teased at the top of the show, told us that he has content for our upcoming hour to end out our week.
I wish you would have provided content for maybe like all 3 hours.
Sure.
Maybe every show. That would be cool.
That would have been good.
You know, beggars can't be choosers.
And so we're not going to get to nearly all of this audio, but there are a couple of things that I'd like to hear from. And one of them here is from Mike Tomlin talking about the last Chiefs game. And I think, you know, a few weeks ago, I think he kind of admits to something here that a lot of us have assumed but didn't necessarily hear out loud all that often. Here's Mike Tomlin on the match of the Chiefs and Steelers had a few weeks ago and what they can take away from it.
So many things went wrong in that performance that it's tough to really glean any specific component of it, to be quite honest with you. We laid an egg. We laid an egg from a planning standpoint. We laid an egg from a playing standpoint. And so we own that. It's probably just a reboot, if you will. I don't know that we're looking to glean anything from the experience in terms of our planning and ultimately our play this time around.
Isn't that kind of interesting? Of like, hey, it was so dookie last time that we can't really take much from that. Now, like, again, literally last week there are people saying, hey, you know, the Chiefs are going to just throw away this Broncos tape. There's nothing for them to really get from it. And I'm sure there are individual little things, but, like, in the macro sense, Mike Tomlin's basically telling you there, yeah, I don't know. Well, we're kind of starting over from a place here. Do we have time to sneak in this Chris Jones clip also, Rudy? Let's do that. Because Chris Jones spoke to the media as well and talked about the Chiefs' defense a little bit. He was asked why the defense has struggled a little bit more over these last few weeks.
I think it's more so tackling. I think we missed a lot of tackles over the last course of the season. If we wrap up in tackle, I think we'll be where we want to be. And that's been a huge emphasis going into the playoff and making sure we're wrapping up and tackling and making sure that our big guys are getting out of the stacks to help our DBs tackle.
That's a simple thing, but it is something that we can all see. And again, I've said this before. Like we are getting the smallest fraction of the truth possible from the podium every time someone goes up there. They're not going to tell you every single part of their game plan or what they're really working on or whatever. Chris Jones probably knows he can talk about tackling and not give away anything schematic, but I think there's probably something to that. And if they can't simply tackle on Sunday, the Chiefs will run into significant issues because of that flaw. I think that's fair. Also, BTM on Twitch, Hardee's breakfast is all that matters. They actually do make their biscuits from scratch every morning. They have a person who is the biscuit person.
I wouldn't mind having a biscuit person.
I wouldn't mind being a biscuit person. I think I kind of am already, but not in that sense.
They make good biscuits. They're a bit crumbly, but they're also like solid. They don't just like completely fall apart, but you know, like, it's a good combo.
I really like doing radio, and I have been confronted with the fact that maybe I'm not fulfilling my true calling because I'm not a biscuit person. I'll think about some things during the break, and then we'll be joined by Mick Schaefer next.